Steve, they're in free fall. You got to do something.
All right. The Sage is here at Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue. Our great friends at Hooters. Ira, what'd you eat there?
I had a salad, Steve. Broadcast that loud and clear. A Hooters salad with grilled chicken.
Very nice, Sage. Honey mustard, looks like.
Yeah, extra dressing that put it over the 1,000 calorie mark.
All right. Well, that's the voice of Ira Kaufman, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. Ira, a rough week for you because the Bucks are playing your beloved Chiefs. It's always a bit of a conflict, but we'll talk about that. There's no conflict, though, up the road, about a mile and a half from here, north of the stadium on Dale Mabry at Bill Curry Ford. Got to get to their website and look at all the cool specials. All those end-of-the-year specials are starting to flow now, and you got to get on it. Sean Sullivan, the GM of Bill Curry Ford, he's got the Ira Kaufman discount. It's waiting for you. Just reach out to Sean. Ask him what it is. Tell him what you're interested in. Don't hesitate. They've got $1,000 storm savings is still there. There are other offers coming. They're still beating any advertised price by $100, Ira. Beating. And you don't need some sort of fancy information. Just take a screenshot and you're good to go. But Bill Curry Ford, family owned, 65 plus years. The Curry family, Sage, you know, they do so much work in the community, even more during holiday time. So many active charities.
They got a street named after him off Van Dyke Road. It's unbelievable.
I've seen it. I've actually saw it about 3 months ago. You talked about it a couple of years ago. I saw it. Heading toward Dale Mabry on the right
That's
side
right.
there.
That's right.
BillCurryFord.com. C-U-R-R-I-E. That's the family name. Shop there now. That's all we ask. Bill Curry Ford.
Don't hurry. Drive Curry, Steve?
.com. Ira, you're killing me, man. Don't worry, drive Curry.
We'll do it again.
No, it's fun like that. Don't worry, drive Curry.
Don't worry, drive Curry.
All right, Sage. Now, we got plenty to talk about with this game because we got a Monday night game coming up. We were just at One Buck patrolling the locker room. You know what I actually talked to some players about, Ira? You're going to laugh at this.
Our podcast?
No, not our podcast.
All right.
I did ask them about presidential politics.
Look at you.
I wanted to know, is this something that's taboo in the locker room? Or are guys yelling and screaming? Or what's going on? Are they talking about it? What's going on?
That's your Halloween twist on this whole thing, Steve?
No, I just happened to ask, and I got better answers than I thought.
Anybody wearing a MAGA hat in the locker room, Stevie?
All right, we'll get to that, Ira. Florida's Elite Restoration. Elite. I should stress that because they are the best in the business. Go search them on Google. Florida's Elite Restoration, based in the Tampa Bay area, but they cover the entire Bay Area, north, south, across the state, through Orlando.
Josh Martin and his crew, right, Steve?
They are fantastic. They're professional. They've got all the best technology. So if you have mold, a fire, flood, storm damage, water damage, just from a flood, doesn't have to be from a hurricane. Burst
Could be
pipe.
A busted pipe.
Absolutely, which happens all the time. Call them first before you call your insurance company. Get your free evaluation. Mention Ira or Joe BucksFan when you call. And if you need their service, if you want to go with them to restore your property and maybe even completely replace your kitchen as an example, if it was a bad flood, mention Ira first. If you sign up with them and need them, you'll get $500 back cash. Or maybe it's money for your deductible on an insurance claim. But you got to trust the best in the business. That's Florida's Elite Restoration. As Ira, as you like to say, we know people that have used them, including Sean Sullivan, the GM at Bill Curry Ford, multiple times. Multiple times, Ira.
And Steve, Josh Martin knows all the intricacies of the insurance business vis-a-vis restoration. He really uses it to the advantage of the consumer. So take advantage of that.
Yeah. Insurance companies are out there to rip you off or give you essentially the least possible amount of money.
That's right.
Josh is there to fight for you, be your play caller, and make it happen. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right, Sage, you know, here we are. Bucks are 4-4. The trauma of losing to Atlanta twice and ridiculous Kirk Cousins and giving up the booty left and right to that guy and that team is a little bit past us, although Lee and I are still a little troubled. But here we are, facing the Chiefs. Now, you watch the Chiefs. I've watched a couple of games this year. They're undefeated, but they're not that good. I don't know how else to say it. What are your thoughts right now on that?
Lee, I think the Chiefs are the perfect example of a team that finds ways to win. And it's not from Mahomes throwing for 350 yards and four touchdowns. His numbers pale in comparison to Baker Mayfield. Not even close. He's thrown 9 interceptions, so he's got nothing on Mayfield in that department. He's got 8 touchdown passes, and Mayfield's got 21. So what I'm saying is, Lee, what's the difference? Well, Mahomes makes plays, whether he's got to run for a first down or whatever, make an incredible throw on the run. And most importantly, Lee, they got a defense. Spagnuolo's done a marvelous job. They used to have a guy named Bob Sutton.
Yeah.
As an old Chiefs fan, I used to scream about him.
Yeah,
he stinks.
Yeah.
Passive, you know. Spagnuolo's very
almost
aggressive.
Like
yeah, very aggressive. They got a good pass rush. That's a problem for Mayfield, although the Buck O-line's
Chris
playing
Jones.
Very well. Chris Jones, Bolton's excellent linebacker. McDuffie's their best guy in the secondary. They're not killing teams, Lee. They win by 7 points. And you know what? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. They're the last team standing. Not a lot of teams that have defended the Super Bowl have started 7-0. And they're playing at home. The crowd's going to be raucous. You'll be there. Don't get swept up in the crowd, Lee. Don't wear a Buck shirt.
I'll be an impressed.
You might get barbecue sauce poured on your head.
There's worse things
over there. Very few people think the Bucs are going to win this game. Can they be competitive? Yeah, they can be competitive because the Chiefs don't score a lot of points. And the Bucs do. So it's hard for me to imagine they're going to go to Kansas City and win. Now, Lee, here's one thing that gives me some solace. You don't have to go back very far to see a Buck team that had a midseason tailspin and overcame it. Here's the difference, Lee. While the schedule post-bye is certainly favorable, I'm not going to argue that, and you're not going to argue that. There's some stumble bums on that schedule down the stretch. However, if the defense doesn't pick it up, who says they're going to win those games?
I'm not one of those people. As in, I fully expect them to lose a couple games if they don't play defense.
Even Carolina, Lee?
Let's not get carried away.
Yeah, yeah. Carolina stands alone. They stand alone.
You give any quarterback in this league time, he's going to hurt you. You give Dak Prescott, you give Justin Herbert. In fact, sometimes if you give Gardner Minshew time, and they got weapons.
And even Derek Carr will be back.
Derek Carr will be back. Kamara. I don't want to get too far ahead about after the bye. We got plenty of time to talk about that. To your Chiefs comments, I was hoping when Bolton was in the draft, I was really hoping the Bucs would get him. I thought he was a really nice player.
He is a nice player.
And he is a nice player. But you know what? People mocking Mahomes, oh, he's having a rotten year. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's not like Gardner Minshew having a bad year. It's Patrick Mahomes.
You think Andy Reid's worried about Patrick Mahomes? Of course not.
Last thing he's worried about. I will say this about their lack of an offense and their undefeated and hearing people poo-poo them. It reminds me of what Jesse Ventura once said when he was asked about the shenanigans that the missing link pulled in the ring. And Jesse Ventura's response was, "It's called getting the job done."
Lee, you've quoted a lot of people on this podcast. Ventura might be a first for you. I don't remember you recalling a Ventura quote.
It's called getting the job done, and that's what the Chiefs are doing. But to your point, my own eyes witnessed a Bucs quarterback who threw a lot of picks, went right into Arrowhead, shut up that loud crowd, came away with a win. And that was probably the last big win that Jameis ever had. So it's not impossible.
You think the addition of DeAndre Hopkins changes anything for the Chief offense?
Maybe. I mean, he's way over the hill.
This will be his second game for Kansas City.
Whatever juice he's got left, Andy Reid will find a way to squeeze it out of him. I'm not one of these guys saying Mahomes sucks because he's got bad numbers. It's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I'm not saying he sucks either. He's there to win games, and they'll do it how they have to do it, and the defense is helping him. What really intrigues me, Ira, biggest thing I want to see is the Chiefs defense, number 2 in the league against the run. Beastly run defense.
I think 3.5 they're giving up.
Yeah. And we look at the Bucs rushing game. It's been tremendous. And it's diverse. And the offensive line is healthy. And they're playing good ball. And if the Bucs can run the ball in this game, it changes everything. If Mayfield can protect the ball and they can run it.
And if Cone sticks with the running game, that's another point.
Exactly. So that's the key for me. If they can't run the ball against the Chiefs, they got no shot. If they can keep the offense diverse, I think they can stay very close, and I think they're actually built very well to beat this specific Chiefs team. I'm also curious to see if they've got David on
Kelsey,
which is, of course, what happened in the Super Bowl, and David won that battle. They're both older, you know, both not the same player, but I wonder if Bowles just hands that over to him and says, look, this is your night, Levante.
Lee, let's be honest. We were all there for that Super Bowl game. Everybody saw it. And the Bucs pass rush won the game. Pure and simple.
Yeah.
Mahomes had no chance. I didn't think Mahomes played that bad.
No, he did not. And if you watch, I don't know if you've seen it, Ira, but all those NFL films cuts of the Bucs Super Bowl win, Evans and Godwin were like, my God, this quarterback's unreal.
Yeah. Didn't he throw a ball that went right through Tyreek Hill's hands?
And he was sideways?
Or hit him in the helmet?
Yeah, he was sideways.
That ball. By the way, Kelsey caught 10 balls in that game, even though he was running for his life, yeah. Mahomes.
And Levante David kept him out of the end zone.
He did. This dynamic of the running game, because you and I have been at it now for 3-4 years. But, Lee, even you have to acknowledge the dynamics have changed. So when I say, coach, stick with the running game, your point has always been, and it's correct, you stink at running. What are you doing? You stink. Well, now they don't stink.
Well, it's that, and I'm a big believer in go with whatever is working. And there was no doubt that the Bucs were elite in throwing the ball. And so,
they're still good at throwing the ball.
Yeah, even with the scrubs that are playing. With apologies to Sterling Shepard, I'm not mocking him, but, who was he playing for last year?
But the running game has joined the party, Lee.
Not only has running game joined the party, but those injuries have neutered the pass game. And so your strength right now is running. I talked to Luke Goedeke in the locker room. I know it's not big sample size, but I think Bucs fans would like to know this. Luke Goedeke said this is the best the Bucs offensive line has played since he was drafted.
Is Goedeke their best offensive lineman at this point, Steve?
No, I don't think so. But
okay.
No, I don't
Are
think so.
Are you suggesting Wirfs is having a bad year?
I didn't say bad.
Not
say
a
bad,
worse
but
year.
Maybe it's a way to say Goedeke's having a hell of a year.
Now I'm taking issue with a word Lee said, neutered. I haven't seen neutered yet from the passing game. So I'm a believer. I'm definitely a believer.
They weren't neutered last week.
Bigger challenge this week. I really hope we get some deep shots to Trey Palmer. That shouldn't be out of the offense. The deep shot here. I know you love the flags, Ira.
I do.
Also, we were supposed to see Palmer get some opportunities short to be schemed up to do his yak
that
thing.
That quick slant.
Hasn't done much. But I don't think he's playing badly. He's catching what they throw to him. He obviously, his punt returns have been pretty good. He's healthy. Got over the concussion issue. Talked to him today. He's ready to go. He loves the big stage. And I was thinking about it. These young players going to the two-time champs. But you know what? Palmer's played in big games. Jalen McMillan hasn't, but these other guys have all played in big games, playoffs, et cetera, except for the rookies. So I'm not worried about that element of it.
No starstruck element?
The rookies, I think Jalen McMillan, I don't know what's going to happen to his pants or Graham Barton. I talked to Graham Barton today.
He might have Chris Jones right off his shoulder.
He's very even keel, but he recognizes, this is a big stage, a lot of people watching. It's a big deal for a must-win game Monday night. But they just played on Monday night. Not really worried about that.
Lee, I've been slapping the light around a little bit in terms of the pass rush and the defense overall with the draft picks. But to be fair, Lee, you also drafted Kate Otten. Nobody blinked an eye. This guy's going to be great.
Yeah, nobody.
But he liked Kate Otten. He liked him. He was okay last year.
Yeah.
He was decent. Now I've been watching him, Lee. I've been watching him closely on the replays and everything. He's improved his route running dramatically. Very sharp cuts for Kate Otten. We know he can handle a violent collision. He's showing good hands. So what I throw out to you is, Lee, that could be another light draft pick that he hit on.
Yeah, well, was it Bowles or Baker Mayfield was saying Otten was basically a blocking tight end. And with Evans and Godwin out, now he's a target. And he's showing his worth. This is what I'm more impressed with than anything with Otten. Because this is something you can't teach. You can't measure.
And I think he's blocking better too, Lee. I think he is.
You can't develop. The guy either has it or he doesn't. But against Baltimore, he got the snot knocked out of him. Bounced back up every time. This guy's shown me he's tough.
Yes.
And that is a valuable element to have on your football team.
And it's one that Light always looks for. Always.
Well, I think all football people do. And I think, the tip-off should have been last year he played 97% of the snaps. He's not a big guy. And usually guys his size, if they tried to play 97 snaps, they get beat up. Well, he probably did get beat up, but he sucked it up. He stayed in the game.
Sage, Otten ranks 7th in the NFL among tight ends in receiving yards, 3rd in total targets.
What about receptions?
I don't have here front of me. But here's the thing with Otten, emphasized very much so on Buccaneers Radio Network this week by Todd Bowles, that Otten was running receiver routes. That's what they call it, receiver routes.
Yeah.
And yes, he's done them in practice and all that, but now they see that, hey, they may have something here. It's just another thing for
another
Liam
toy.
Cohen to explore even deeper. But, I think right now it's fair to say, yes, he hit the draft pick, and he nailed it. First pick of the fourth round, Kate Otten. He's durable, played well last year, and here he
is. It's impressive how Otten has upped this game when the top two targets are sidelined. That's impressive. Let's be honest, he is Mayfield's most reliable target at the moment.
Yeah, right now.
He is, right now, and he knows it.
More so than Shepard, you think?
Yes.
Okay, the reason why I asked that, because obviously Mayfield has a history with him.
I don't care about Mayfield's history. Right now, Otten's playing at a very high level, Lee.
The last 2 weeks, he's like top three or four in a bunch of categories for tight ends. Yards, touchdowns, yak, all kinds of things.
Sage, quick note, off the record stuff. Sure, Sterling Shepard did not practice today. That's on the record, but he's going to play. He's going to play Monday night.
As is Bucky Irving.
As is Bucky Irving. Now, glad you brought that up because Todd Bowles acknowledged that Bucky Irving's toe injury is something he'll be dealing with all year, and they're not practicing.
And they're going to manage it during the week.
Right. Yeah. Now, I asked him, is that something you got to manage in a game? Like, is that going to limit his snaps? Bowles, without saying no, he pretty much said no. Like, well, we're resting him so we don't have to worry in the game, but that's very dicey right there, Ira, when you really think about it. If you got to manage the guy, maybe that does affect.
Maybe that's a reason, Lee, and I've been yakking about giving him more touches. Maybe that's a reason they're not giving him more touches.
That very well could be.
As wacky as a former Bucks guard Ian Beckles is, Ira, our friend, and he'll appreciate me calling him wacky. On his podcast, In the Trenches, he said, look, if you watch the film of Bucky Irving, I don't know why anybody would watch that and say, he doesn't need the ball as much as possible. There's no logic to it.
I think
he's
he had
not 16, criticizing.
16 touches last week.
Yeah,
I don't think that's enough, Lee. I don't think it's enough.
You were agitated in the press box. You were agitated.
Yeah, I was.
Want Bucky to get the ball. Where's Bucky?
And so do the fans.
Well, look.
Oh, yeah, they love
Baker Mayfield. Here's the thing. He specified every time Bucky gets the ball, he's trying to score a touchdown, and he's explosive. Just look at him.
Yes.
I never heard him say that about Rashad White last year.
Rashad White has no vision.
I'm sorry. So you look at it late in the game. They went with Rashad White because Todd Bowles said physical pass blocking was the best fit at that time at the end of the game last week. Well, if your quarterback is saying this guy's looking to hit a home run at any time and he's capable, they took their home run hitter off the field. So I'm not saying right or wrong, but your quarterback's saying this is the home run hitter.
Lee, tell me if you disagree with this. Here's the difference between Irving and Rashad White. In the open field, Rashad White is brilliant about making the first guy miss.
Absolutely.
Bucky Irving makes the first guy miss in a congested area.
Yes, which White will never do.
That is a big difference.
Big difference. White, as a running back between the tackles, he couldn't make a mailbox miss. He's terrible.
What about on the outside in open space?
I think he's one of the best in the league. I know Steve goes nuts when I say that. And then Steve just said, you're taking a home run hitter off the field. I'm going to back up Bowles here. And I'm not saying this to be contrarian. I genuinely believe this.
Please be contrarian.
No, I
didn't. No, I'm kidding.
White, I think, is a better pass blocker. And there is some thought. I don't buy it. But there is some thought in the NFL that the most valuable trait a running back can have is pass block.
Oh!
I don't buy that, but there are some heavy hitters that actually believe that. So, again, I'm just throwing that out there. That's number one. Number two, White is a home run hitter in a passing game. He's not in a running game. So when Steve said you're pulling a home run hitter, I don't necessarily agree with that. Bucky is a home run hitter on the run. He's just the opposite of White almost. So Bucky can catch the ball, but they're almost like a yin and a yang kind of running back.
Steve, I got a question for you, and it's a big one. And if you got any insight into this, which you might,
how big?
I want you to share it. Steve, the discussions that are going on behind the scenes at $1 right now in terms of making a move for a player, making an addition, you would think it would either be a receiver or a defensive player. Steve, is Light adamant that I don't want to give up a fourth-round pick? You think Light's dug in his heels about this unless this guy is Tyreek Hill? I'm not giving up a three or a four.
No, absolutely not, but I think they have zero interest whatsoever in trading for a receiver, and I would understand that. The guy's got to come in and learn the offense.
Number one, Evans should be back.
You've got various weapons, guys who have been emerging. Evans, you expect him to be back. So what for?
And the offense is humming.
And Cohen has proven to be versatile. He can work around it. So I don't.
What about a defensive player?
The defensive player, I mean, there's no excuse. If they go out and suck again on Monday night and look a little lost, I think you got to get somebody. I don't know what it's going to look like, Ira, but I don't think they're going to expend money on an edge rusher. But if they could.
A veteran linebacker?
I'd love to see him get an inside linebacker. They clearly need some help. Light would spend the fourth round pick on an edge rusher if it made sense. I think he would.
Lee, what do you think Light's saying with his Spytek and Greenberg, and they're all getting together? And it's like,
well, I got an idea.
Does it have to be the perfect guy, the perfect deal?
Well, I can just understand. I could just imagine what the conversation is like. If we save a fifth round pick, we can get the next Jake Kamada.
But Lee, you're always saying the window's tight.
That's my argument.
You're 4-4. Don't you have to make a move?
Thank you. You're taking the words out of my mouth. Thank you. Now, here's what I was going to ask, Ira. What kind of public perception to the fans is it if you see all these teams, Kansas City, Buffalo, teams that have a Super Bowl as a legitimate goal, and here the Bucs are, they're needing players. They're like, nah, we're good. No, we don't need a game by now. Our defense is getting slashed.
It's almost a tacit admission that you don't have the team to go far.
Like waving a white flag almost. Does this guy's name ring a bell? It's not football. It's baseball. Bing Devine.
Yes. Cardinals. Yeah,
he was general manager of the Cardinals in the 60s. He said he got together. Guy's name, last name was DeWitt. I think he was related to the current Cardinals owner, DeWitt. He was a bigwig with the Reds. They got together at spring baseball meetings. Bing Devine told the guy, we got to do something. He goes, what do you mean? Let's work out a trade. We got to do something to generate some energy, generate some fan interest, show that we're involved. And the guy said, yeah, that's a good idea. So they made a trade. Cardinals got Kurt Flood.
Kurt Flood.
What happened to him? The same year the Cardinals traded for him because they needed to generate buzz? They win a World Series.
That's right. They won a World Series.
Light, I'm not calling out Light. Trust me now. But this coveting of these third-day draft picks, which are at best a roll of the dice, and you might be able to bring in a veteran that could push you over the edge and maybe get you to an NFC Championship game, why wouldn't you, especially when the window is tight?
Steve, they're not 2-6, Steve. They're in the middle of this thing. They're in the thick of it.
Yeah, I just think that's a bad image, bad message to send to fans. Like, we don't care. Now, that may be a wrong image, but that's what's being generated.
Bad optics.
Very
Lee.
Bad optics, I think. Very bad optics.
Sage, just to throw some numbers out there, Rashad White, 8.4 yards per catch this year. That's about 15th in the league for guys with 15 or more catches. Bucky Irving right behind him at 8.2 yards a catch.
And their catch percentage is fantastic.
Yeah,
right,
both Steve? Of them are unbelievable catch percentage.
Steve, the Bucks are not 2-6. Don't they have to do something if they lose Monday night?
Well, if they lose Monday night, it has to be a deal that makes sense. I don't think they're going to sit on their philosophy or be stuck on a concept, but you got to have somebody who you really think is better. And you know, let's just say they find an edge rusher somewhere on somebody's team. Okay. Well, if they're not 100% convinced that this guy is really better than what they got significantly, maybe he'll get us an extra sack, I don't think they're going
to
do it.
You think the owners could put pressure on to make a move, Lee, in this regard? Here's something that the Glazers might be thinking about. You went into Detroit. That's a hell of a team.
Yes.
And you beat them fair and square. And you deserve to win that game.
Dominant defense.
So that shows what this team's capable of doing.
I absolutely agree.
And I think they could be thinking about that.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know if I'm going to say the Glazers are going to order Light to make a trade, but are you telling me they can't find a KJ Britt out there?
I'll say this, Ira. You know what I'd like to see? Where is Jose Ramirez?
Don't get me started.
If he can't play or is stuck behind this bunch and can't see the field.
Guys who are not getting the job done.
He produced in preseason. He's been here a couple years. We've heard all the ravings behind the scenes. He's made all the offensive tackles so great in practice. Let's see what we got. And maybe we get that against Mahomes. You know, use him as a situational pass rusher. I don't know.
You feel that way about Brewer too, Lee? Or just coming off one game? I mean, it's only one game.
More than Ramirez. And I'm not knocking Ramirez, but why is he on the field?
I just think they might have to make a move just for the sake of making a move.
Well, do you think it just depends what it looks like on Monday?
Maybe you wait. What's the deadline?
Deadline's
Election Day.
You can't wait till the bye. It's too late.
Deadline is Election Day.
Lee, they give up 30 points in Kansas City. You got to make a move.
It just makes me laugh that a guy might get traded and he won't be able to vote.
I don't want to hear about salary cap, Steve. I don't want to hear about a fourth-round pick. Because
unless he brings a guy.
We know the percentages. Now, Light's pretty damn good.
Yeah, he's very good.
He is. But still, history tells us fourth-round picks, maybe 30% of the time.
These solid, intelligent Bucks fans that listen to your podcast, Ira, and they have to be intelligent. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't
listen.
Thank you. So, go to Pro Football, not Focus, Pro Football Reference. You might have to Google.
I'm on there all the time.
Their search engine is kind of crappy. so you can Google this, but make sure Pro Football Reference is in the search. Pull up Bucks draft picks and go look at all the fourth-round picks.
The whole history.
And that will change your mind about how coveted a team should be about fourth-round draft picks.
Steve, they're in free fall. You got to do something. You lose Monday night, you got to
do
something.
All right, now that brings us back to the beginning of the podcast. You talked about the schedule at the end of the year. So you look at the schedule. I've never seen an easier schedule
for a
Bucks
team. But can you count on going 6-1? Can you really count on it?
Well, yeah, if you believe that you're any good, sure. And you can outscore these teams that aren't going to be able to stop you. Lee's right. Any quarterback's going to look good with the way the Bucks play.
Now, the Chargers have a good defense.
We watched Minshew beat the Bucks last year in Indianapolis.
That's right.
You know, bottom line, but yeah, they do have enough to win. I don't know how Light's going to view it, but you got to empty some of these bench players in these next couple of games, see if you have something. If it's the same old crap from your edge rush, you know, let's see these guys.
What you're saying is repeating the same mistake over and over is a pure definition of insanity?
Yeah, doing the same thing.
Expecting a different result?
Yeah. We were in for Bowles. Do you have a sense that, what's his confidence level that he can turn this defense around? Does he have any specific plans for this defense?
Well, it seems like he was really motivated because someone dropped a bag of cookies on him.
Yeah. What kind of cookies was that?
Chocolate chip. They're Chip Ahoy. Yeah. That's his favorite. Yeah. He loves that.
We had nothing to do with it, right, Lee?
I didn't hear anything about it, so no. But I'll admit this, even though it might be unethical, your podcast at the Combine, when you weren't there, but Bowles was there, I bought him a bag of Chips Ahoy. I went to Kroger and got one, yeah. So anyway, that
was a couple of years ago, right?
2 years ago.
Lee, do you get any sense Bowles is on top of this defense, going to make tactical changes, personnel changes?
I don't see it. I got to see it first to believe it. I don't see it. He hasn't done it yet. If you're good with KG Britt, and I think it's pretty much proven by now, he's not a starting middle linebacker in the NFL. He just isn't. Teams are just roasting him. They're exposing him badly. And if Bowles is good with that, well, that tells me he's not willing to make any changes.
Steve, is it scheme or players on the defensive side or a combination?
Bowles has had defenses before where a guy sucked in one aspect of the game, and that's Britt in pass coverage. He's worked around that before, maybe not necessarily
minimized in
Tampa. I love when you asked him, have you ever had this sort of free fall, Todd?
And what'd you do
about
it? How'd
you fix it? I'm thinking he never fixed it with the Jets. His defense got progressively worse year after year. And that's
which is happening here.
That's just a fact. But I'm going to predict, I think we do see some sort of personnel change or tweak on defense this week. I mean, this is the week to do it, in my opinion.
Why do you think the defense is markedly worse than last season, Lee, with basically the same players?
That's the mystery of 2000.
Now, Lavani's a little older. Okay.
How is it basically the same players?
Look at all the starters.
A.J. Britt played, what, 3 games last year?
No, we didn't say all the starters.
And he played in the playoffs.
Ira said most of the starters, not all of the starters.
I said most.
Yeah. Of course, Whitehead, he's new, but he's got experience. Britt, Steve's absolutely right.
McCollum was there last year.
Nine starters were experienced.
We got a new safety, and you're going to tell me he's played in the defense before. We got a new safety. We got a new nickel. We got a new cornerback in full-time with McCollum, but we've also – Dean's missed a lot of time. And you got changes up front.
I'm not buying it, Steve.
I say there's 9 guys.
I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying there a lot of guys played, but not together. This group hasn't necessarily played this actual group a ton together.
The vast majority of the defense is veterans that played with each other before. I don't buy this communication. Like McCollum said to Steele, I love McCollum. Don't get me wrong. But this has got to be rehearsed because no one's this dumb. McCollum's like, well, we got new guys in there, and we're not robots, and each guy communicates differently. My head hit the floor. Like, what the hell are you talking about? It's not like these guys went to college in Zimbabwe or some shit. They went to freaking Big Ten schools or SEC schools. They can speak English. I don't understand it. And if these guys are that dumb, Bowles needs to start doing what colleges do. You ever see them when they have these posters up where it's got a picture of a shoe and Kate Upton and a car, and they all mean something different? I mean, this is getting ridiculous.
Here's a real frustrating thing, I think, for Buck fans. If one of the facets of Bowles' defense, at least this season, is we don't want balls thrown over our heads. Don't throw it over our heads. Get it in front and make the tackle. They're getting big plays.
Yeah, we talked about this before. We talked about it before.
So you can't win either way. You're not playing aggressive defense, and you're giving up big passes.
It's nothing new, Ira.
It's a double whammy, Lee. Yeah.
If they don't get through on the blitz this week consistently or better, They got huge problems. They obviously can't not blitz, which is sort of what they tried against Kirk Cousins. They're going to get killed. This offensive line's better and healthier than the Falcons. And
Mahomes can move.
Mahomes can move. So they're going to have to let it rip here and hope to get a couple of turnovers. I'm going to pick my game here, Sage, because we're all frustrated with the same problems every single week. I think the Bucs are so ripe to beat the Chiefs because they're the right, well-crafted team to do that and to outscore them. But I don't see any evidence why.
And the Chiefs will take them a bit for granted. A bit for granted.
Maybe. But the defense has been so bad, and Mahomes is a better quarterback. Got to go with the better quarterback here. And you know, I just think we're looking at 30-24 Chiefs.
All right, Lee, what do you got? You're the one that's leading.
And I'll say this, if it's a blowout, if it's a straight-up Chiefs blowout, the Todd Bowles watch is going to be a huge issue.
Well, it wasn't pretty this week, Steve.
No, but it'll be huge if it's a blowout.
And that's where I'm going. I'm going to quote Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com in his tweet he sent out. I've seen the Bucs defense, and this is the week Kansas City's offense is back. Mahomes is... You saw the run he made against the 49ers. It blew me away. It looked like Devin White was playing defense. I'm going to say Mahomes. I agree with everything Greg Rosenthal said. I hate to say it. I don't want to see it. But I believe 38-17 Kansas City.
Whoa. I'm going to go a little bit different. I will also pick the Chiefs. But I don't think their weapons are extraordinary in any sense. When Kareem Hunt's your main ball carrier, you're mediocre running the ball. I'm going to say 24-17, home team Chiefs. We're all picking the Chiefs.
I do think the Bucs have a chance to win this thing. I really do.
But you don't have the balls to pick it.
Well, I don't have the confidence. The Chiefs haven't scored more than 28 points all year. If they score the 38 Lee's talking about, Todd Bowles has serious problems. I don't think the Chiefs are going to put that up a crazy amount, and the Bucs can score, but...
And it's the day before the trade deadline. The
day before the trade deadline. Now, before we get out of here, Ira, let me thank Bill Curry Ford. Shop at BillCurryFord.com right now.
Don't worry. Drive Curry.
There you go. And remember, when you disaster plan, Florida's Elite Restoration is your team. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Last question for you, Ira. What about the Bucs trading players? They got depth on their interior defensive line. A lot of teams need receivers out there. Maybe somebody wants a Sterling Shepard who has a history of injury. The Bucs might look at him and be like, you know what? He gets banged up a lot. Rakeem Jarrett's coming on. Evans is coming back. I don't know. But you could also look at the Bucs at Robert Hainsey. If a center goes down this week, somebody might be willing to hand over a ransom for Hainsey, small ransom. What do you think?
I think you're kidding yourself, Steve. You're not going to get much return from Sterling Shepard. I mean, come on, Lee.
No.
Come on. Sterling Shepard.
It's not my perception.
This ain't Sterling Sharp. This is Sterling Shepard.
It's if somebody dangles.
Would you take Sterling Sharp right now?
Come on.
But you know how the front office thinks. If somebody dangles and somebody has an injury and says, give us Shepard for a sixth round pick. the front office loves that. It's like gold to these guys.
I was glaring at Steve like,
well,
I don't believe
he said sixth round pick. I thought he was talking about a third round
pick.
Yeah. You'll get a third day pick for some of these guys. I thought you were going to extend it to Vita Vea for a second. Now, he would command a decent return.
They're not trading Vea because he's the classic Bill Belichick nose tackle.
You got Belichick already on his way to Tampa?
I'm teasing.
That's the way to end this podcast.
Oh, real quick, Ira. This character at ESPN is Bill Barnwell. He hates Joe Bucks fan.
What?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, he's also a guy that thinks momentum is BS. There's no such thing as momentum.
Well, he's 0-2. He doesn't like Joe Bucks fan, and he's stupid about momentum.
Well, he's way 0-2 saying there's no such thing as momentum. He wrote buyers and sellers. The Bucks need to be sellers next week.
Normally, I'd say... Not stupid, not a crazy idea, but Lee, we keep going back to the same thing. The post-buy schedule is going to prevent that. It's going to prevent it because they did it last year with maybe even a tougher schedule down the stretch than they got this year. Two games against the Panthers, Lee. You lose one of those games, all hell's going to break loose.